This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Tuesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And we are... Summer is just going by way too fast, Hunter. I don't like it. Make it stop.
Well, I slow it down at least. I mean, it feels like this summer has flown by. We're less than 2 weeks till the start of school.
I know. It's crazy. And I don't know, as you get older, it goes faster. I just remember summer going by so slow as a kid. Now that I'm an old fart, I guess it goes by faster. But in keeping with that kind of theme of things, that it also means that it's time for the Oregon State Fair. And that is coming up super fast. And so we're going to jump right into the phone lines. Representing the Oregon State Fair, their spokesperson, Alex, is on the line with us. Alex, hey, how are you? It's great to have you on the show today.
Denise, hi, Hunter. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so you've got to be one busy lady.
Yes, the countdown to the fair has started. It's starting this Friday, August 22nd at 10 a.m., so it's crunch time, but we're very excited.
So tell us again when it starts.
It starts this Friday, August 22nd, it goes through Labor Day. So that's 11 days of fair.
Yeah, it's crazy to realize, because Labor Day is falling on the 1st of September this year.
Right.
It seems like everything is happening a little bit earlier.
So
you're in countdown mode. Today's Tuesday, so you're in countdown mode. Are you getting excited, or are you overwhelmed, or where are you at in the process?
I think it's just a mix of all those things. You know, there's just so many people that work on this event all year, and so it feels like this really big deal. So there's a lot of excitement, but definitely there's a lot of work that gets done in that last week. But, you know, it all comes together, and we're just so excited to have Oregonians joining us this Friday.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've got people coming in. I know the 4-H and the FFA kids, there's always a lot of trailers and RVs, and so the animals. I think a lot of the things that people like are the animals, the food, and then the concerts.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Those are definitely the things that people think about when they think of fair. And, you know, we're always going to have those livestock competitions, because I feel like they're just so much, like, at the core of what the state fair is.
Absolutely.
But, you know, food, I think people definitely, like, you think of a fair, and I think one of the first things that people think of is just food and that, like, smell that wafts through the area as soon as you step on the fairgrounds. And our theme this year is actually food. It's all the flavors of fun. That's our theme.
Oh, nice.
And so to honor that, we have 30 new food vendors coming for a total of over 90 vendors.
Wow. So give us a tease on what we can expect if you're adding all that many. I imagine there's going to be an amazing variety.
Yeah, I think what's really cool about this effort is that we're just having a bigger variety of food. So, like, we're going to have those classics. Like, we're going to have the turkey legs, the cotton candy, the funnel cakes. They will be there. But you can also just try such unique options. Like, we're going to have poke bowls and spam fries, and you can do boba tea. We just have food from all different cultures and all over the world. And so it's just a really cool opportunity to get to try so many different foods. And, you know, we're going to have booths. We're going to have food trucks as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then one thing that's really cool that we're launching this year is it's called Sunny's $3 Tasty Tour, which is honoring our sunflower mascot, Sunny. On Wednesday, August 27th, starting at 10 a.m. till 4, we're going to have 28 vendors offering little bites of food for $3. So that way, rather than spending money on one large meal, you can spend a little money on a bunch of little bites and get to try a bunch of different things.
What a great idea. I love that, especially for younger families who maybe cannot afford that, and they're not sure if, you know, little Susie's going to go, ew, yeah, you're only out $3 bucks if she does.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Oh, I love that. So we got the animals, we got the food. Love what you're doing with the food. I think expanding that out. And I love trying new foods. I always tended to be a bit of a brave eater. So that's cool. But so now the concerts. I know for many years I've seen so many great acts at the concerts. Who's on the lineup this year?
Yeah, we've got 11 acts. So we've got acts for all 11 days of the fair. And people should definitely go to our website to see them all. But it's just such a wide variety of music. Like, we've got the All-American Rejects playing opening night Friday, which I think is really going to reach out to the millennials. We've got three country artists, including Wynonna Judd. We've got some classic rock. We've got Cheap Trick and the Beach Boys coming. We have a gospel group, Maverick City Music. And then we have a band coming from Mexico, Banda Los Sebastianas. So we've got a huge variety of music. There's really something for everyone. And, you know, that's at our LB Day Amphitheater as part of the concert series. But we also have some smaller acts that are just included with admission. You can kind of walk around, check out some of our smaller stages. And we've got, like, bluegrass. We've got some alternative. And we also have some yacht rock that's going to be available for people to listen
to
while
they're
out there.
I love that you have yacht rock.
yeah, we're very excited.
That's awesome. So now, do you get into the fair, your admission, but tickets are separate for the shows, for the bigger shows?
So there is limited free seating.
Okay.
And people lining up real, real early. So that's for those headline shows. People start lining up very, very early, and it's not guaranteed. It's first come, first serve. So we definitely tell people, you know, if they don't want to wait in line, want to just reserve their seats, and if they want better seats, like closer to the stage or VIP, then definitely go online, get your tickets. And when you buy those concert tickets, fair admission is included with your concert ticket.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Okay. Now, then the other big attraction always is the rides. So what can we expect for rides this year? Anything new?
Oh, yeah. Lots of new rides. We have a dozen new rides coming. And
that's
I think one of the ones that we're most excited about is we have a bigger, better Ferris wheel. It's called the Diamond Ferris wheel. So it's just bigger. It's bolder. I think the Ferris wheel is just such like an image that we associate with fairs. So to have just like this really big one, I think it's just going to look great in the skyline. We're really excited about that. And we're also launching a kid carnival location called Sunnyville. So we've done something kind of similar in the past, but once again, nod to our mascot, Sunny. This is going to be just a kid-focused section of the carnival. So this is going to be rides for young kids and families. And it's just kind of an area where kids can kind of, you know, run around, be safe without worrying about adults or bigger kids kind of being there. And it's just kind of like kid-focused carnival. And it's on the north side of the fairground, so you can actually just take the fair lift from the main carnival, hop on that fair lift, have a nice relaxing ride over the kid carnival, and you can go back and forth that way.
Cool. Yeah, that's always cool. I love the addition of there. So one of the other things a lot of people look forward to, there's vendors from all over the state. So you've got a market area, a vendor area. Any new folks coming in? Anything interesting that you want to share with us on that?
Yeah, so we've done a lot of rebranding. You know, we've done a lot of renaming of certain areas to honor Sunny. So we've got five new shopping areas. There's shopping areas that have been there before, but we've just sort of rebranded and redefined what they are. So we've got the Sunflower Shop, which is like boutique, handmade, antique, gift shop style vendors. We've got the Sunnyside, which is, once again, for kids. It's a kid-centric shopping area, so kid vendors like toys, kids' clothes, games. And we also have some entertainment over there. We've got our Pirates Parrot show that's going to be in the Sunnyside. And we've got our bumper boats and rock climbing wall over there. We've got Sunflower Square, which is an outdoor marketplace, and that has a lot of home improvement things. Mm-hmm. We've got the Sunflower Patch, which is inspired by the warmth of a sunflower-filled field. And that's just going to have some food trucks and various shopping options. And then the last one, it's going to be hot this weekend. When you need to cool down, you can go to Sunny's Marketplace, which is our indoor shopping area.
Okay. So in the big exhibit halls then. Yeah. Yeah. Cause it is going to be hot. So
that's a long building.
Interesting. Okay. So then I have so many friends that enter their prize green beans in the fair, or they have their corn, or, you know, chocolate cake. What can we expect that way for people entering and wanting to win prizes?
Yeah. So, that's our creative living department in Columbia Hall. It's also such, you know, an institutional part of fairs, these competitions.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a broad array of competition. I mean, yeah, like you said, everything from from, you know, gardening to art to quilting. Mm-hmm. We even have some STEM and building block competitions. So it's really, really great. And then we've also launched some new categories. So next year is America 250, America's 250th independence. So we've launched some America 250 themed competitions under Creative Living. And then that's just kind of, you know, a way for us to promote our 4th of July spectacular next year, where we'll be celebrating that 250th anniversary.
Yeah, that's going to be a big, big deal. So are we still doing the chocolate cake? I know Jerry has passed away. Is somebody taking the torch for that?
Jerry Frank competition is still a go. We know that that's,
good.
That's a crowd favorite. So yes, that will be happening on August 31st at 2 p.m.
Okay, good, good. I'm glad. I think I knew that, but I just wanted to have that confirmed because chocolate cake, come on. And of course, Jerry, I mean, my gosh, a Salem institution, beloved. So real quick then, nuts and bolts as far as, you know, getting tickets, ride tickets, parking, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So best thing to do is, you know, we just recommend going to the website because everything's just listed out there and it's just easy to get your tickets ahead of time. But you're, of course, welcome to buy tickets at the gate. It's not too late to get some of our deals and discounts. A lot of them end on August 22nd. But just a reminder for people, if you want to come on opening day, it is actually Mattress Firm $5 Friday. So admission at the gate is $5. And that's just compared to, it would be $12 for adults or $10 for children at the gate. So it's a nice little deal. You can also get free parking if you buy something at an Oregon Wilco while supplies last. You can get free parking pass.
Okay.
And if you buy tickets right now, they are discounted. So you can buy tickets, carnival wristbands, bear lift tickets, and they are discounted up until the 22nd. So we highly recommend people get online and get their tickets early.
Okay, good, good, good to know. Yeah, $5. That's a heck of a deal to get in. Wow, with everything that you guys are offering this year, that's an amazing deal. Well, Alex, it's good information. Give us the website real quick for folks.
That is OregonStateFair.org.
Super easy, super easy. All right, Alex, best of luck to you. Thanks for sharing all the information. It's going to be a great fair. And thanks for taking the time to let our listeners know all about it.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
All righty. All right. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Home Comfort.
I love what they're doing with the fair and really mixing it up and adding all those food carts and vendors and just kind of, that's cool.
Oh yeah. And that's the thing is, you know, go back a few years coming out of COVID where they tried to shut everything down and they had huge numbers, you know, because people were looking for that release and to finally get out there. And then, you know, it's trailed off a little bit from those kind of record highs. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting to see them expanding and growing and really giving back to what these state fairs are really all about.
Yeah, and it really is. It signals the end of summer. I remember being in high school, you'd hang out at the fair all the time, and it was so fun. I saw so many good shows. I remember, gosh, I'm really dating myself, but Kenny Loggins at the height of, like, Footloose and everything was in the 80s. But, I mean, there have been just so many amazing shows. Cheap Trick, though, it's like, ooh, I'd like to see Cheap Trick. Again, throwback. And the Beach Boys, of course, are always there. I think they're there every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it will be an exciting, I think, Winona Judd, is that
middle
of next week? I think my wife and some friends are trying to go to that one.
I think that would be, she's got an amazing voice. She did, a version of Eric Clapton's Change the World, and I love her version more than I do Clapton's version. I just think she's great. So anyway, I think it's going to be great. Well, in keeping with that, because I'm sure you can get that at the Dairy Women's Barn where you get the strawberry shortcake, but I bet you can get some soft serve ice cream there. And today is National Soft Serve Ice Cream Day. I love it. I grew up with Carvel, which I loved. And when I come from the sprinkles that you put on it are called Jimmy's. The chocolate ones are Jimmy's. And I love soft serve ice cream, so I'm celebrating. I'm going to have to just do a remembrance because I don't have Carvel here, but yum.
Well, you got to get down to your local soft serve place and
I am a DQ.
Well, you know, but you do one of those like self-serve ones where then they weigh it and you pay based on the weight kind of a thing.
Cause we used to do this. Where's that?
Well, they used to actually have them like it where I grew up at the grocery store. So you do it and they charge you X per pound based on, you know. So what the competition was is you have three or four of them and you guess the weight and whoever was closest doesn't have to pay for theirs, you know. Whoever's the farthest away gets the whole bill kind of a mentality. And there you add a little competition to it and see if you can guess how much your ice cream weighs.
Really? I've never heard of that. Hey, real quick, we were talking about the fair. Just got a text from our friend Mike Adams. They are at the fair this year, and they're setting up their booth right now. But they're in a new spot, so you'll want to go find them. So I'm assuming they got barbecue, they got a Bow and Vine, they got all the good stuff. Bow and Vine. I'm hungry. I did not eat today. All this talk of fair food is making me so hungry.
That's right. We need to talk food at the end of the show. I mean, Yuri last week and talking food at the start. It's like, boy, we just make this a long hour for us, don't we?
So I think it's good. And I'm glad that he let us know. Because I know where they normally are. So, yeah. So you'll have to be on. And I think online you can get a map of where everything is as well. Today is also National Hot and Spicy Food. My favorite new condiment, well, it's not that new. It's hot crunchy garlic oil. If you've never tried it, it will change your life, Hunter.
Okay.
It will change your life.
I need to try it. You'll have to bring me in a sample.
I will bring you in some. I know I gave some to Jeff, I think for a little Christmas gift one year. I don't know if they've ventured into it, but we actually found it by accident at one of the Asian markets in Salem. We were looking for something else, and the mustache brought it home, and we're like, where has this been all of our lives? I put it in. It's the best.
Okay.
So it's the best.
There it is. He probably devoured it all rather than share it with the rest of us here.
He might have. I actually buy it in bulk. It's that good.
Costco sells it?
No, I have to buy it on Amazon. Costco may. If they're smart, they'll get it. I know you can get it at like Adong in Salem. I think that's where we got it, which is on Market Street, if I'm not wrong. Anyway, happy National Hot and Spicy Food. You want to, you know, cool down with soft serve ice cream after that because, it is spicy.
So let's hit up this day in history because in 1692... five women were hanged in Salem, Massachusetts. Their crime? Witchcraft.
Witchcraft. I was actually watching a documentary on this the other day about what happened and the hysteria that just took over the people of Salem, Massachusetts. And then, of course, I remember, was it Monty Python and the Holy Grail? With the, it's a witch! She turned me into a newt! I got better! In 1909, the first race is held at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Very cool. Love it.
1913, candy maker Clarence Crane registers as a trademark for Lifesavers mint candies.
Oh, so they started out as mint. I know so many people who like the butterscotch ones. Mm-hmm. And I remember as a kid, remember the books? Everyone would give those to their teacher for Christmas. Yeah. Yes, those books. In 1934, Myron Scott organized the first All-American Soapbox Derby race. My son raced Soapbox Derby at the track in Busch Park. That was so much fun. Did you guys do that?
We didn't do it, I don't think, but we were there and watched a little bit of it one time a few years back. And that was a lot of fun, even just being a spectator at these things.
Yeah, we had so much fun doing it. My son really, really loved it. So, oh, also real quick, the hot, crunchy, garlic, spicy, you can get it at Fred Meyer.
Okay.
Okay, just so you know. Yeah. Shh.
If you tell everyone, then I'm not going to be able to get any. All right. 1964, the Beatles kicked off their first American tour at the Cow Palace in San Francisco.
And I bet you couldn't hear a note because of the screaming, the absolute screaming in young girls and some guys losing their minds over the Beatles. I was a Beatles fan. I liked my favorite Beatles album was Sgt. Pepper. I liked it. But anyway, 1976, Republicans nominated Gerald Ford to be their candidate. He was never elected to anything. He did not win. I think when Nixon had Spiro Agnew and then brought in Gerald Ford, and then, of course, Nixon resigned in 74, Ford stepped in, and then he did not win in 76. And I think a lot of people kind of held that pardon against him, and he never was elected to to any presidential office. So interesting. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
1993, Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin marry. Boy, did she dodge a bullet. I remember a little bit vaguely kind of this kind of announcement and what big news that was back in 1993.
Well, I used to like, I remember Alec Baldwin when he was on Knott's Landing, mm-hmm. and he was just a cutie. But okay, in 2004, this one is like hard. Google stock began trading at $85. If you invested $1,000 that day, it would be worth $95,000.
If I had invested $1,000 that day, wouldn't that be nice?
Can you imagine? It's like if we only knew going back, like Apple stock, or I should have invested in, you know, Facebook or whatever.
And of course, 2010, Operation Iraqi Freedom ends.
Ends.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I remember when it started. Remember, what was it, like Shock and Awe or something? I'm trying to remember. Yeah, it was under... To go back in time, back to the aughts.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, it was so long ago, back in that 2010 year. That was like pre-COVID and stuff.
Back when the world was somewhat normal.
That's right.
Before, yeah. Well.
Yeah, where you understood people that were, you know, out there protesting things like, you know, Iraqi freedom and things like that. You know, you understand people didn't want conflict.
Yeah, it was controversial. That's mm-hmm. for sure. So, man, yeah, a lot of stuff happening on this day. Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. Well, we are coming up on the bottom of the hour news. So we're going to take that break. Come on back on the other side.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All right, some interesting stuff happening in Marion County. Of course, we're hearing about, yesterday we talked about Pam Bondi letting... State of Oregon know that they're really in violation. They're not cooperating. You know, I guess they don't necessarily have to cooperate, but they're actually trying to impede the work of the federal government on this. And it's like, that's not cool. Come on.
Well, and
so
of course,
there's some consequences.
Yeah. And from I didn't see the full response, but pretty much the gist of the response is going to be along the lines of, you know, we're here looking out after all Oregonians and we're going to fight back and not follow what you tell us.
Yeah, and I think I saw an X thread or a Facebook thread on that, and it seems kind of split. There are a lot of people that are like, thank you, team, you know, keep our diversity alive. And then there are a lot of people like, you know, no, you don't stand for me. Go ahead.
Well, you said keep our diversity alive. And so they're going, what diversity is going to go away if we are arresting people coming out of a courthouse that committed a crime?
I know.
That should be in our jails and instead of being released on the streets to avoid ICE.
I just the pretzel bending that has to go on for these people to be defending this is just ridiculous. And they think they're so virtuous and it's just ridiculous. It's like clearly you don't care about your fellow citizens. So I'm not really interested in your opinion. So anyway, but Marion County is dealing with it. Marion County, an OPB article came out, looks like today, actually. Marion County files a lawsuit over the Oregon sanctuary law. Marion County is asking a federal court to determine whether it should follow state or federal law when it comes to immigration. Good. I'm glad they filed this.
Yeah.
Let's get this cleared up once and for all, shall we?
Yeah, it makes total sense. And
it does.
Because if Marion County just said we are going to follow federal immigration law, then the state of Oregon is going to come after it.
Right.
If they say we're going to follow Oregon immigration law, which there isn't an Oregon immigration law, but Oregon's sanctuary status, then the federal government has the right to come in and sit here and say you're not following our laws and could actually hold people accountable. And that's what I'd love to see is people that are pushing back and literally making this a challenge be the ones personally held responsible for this, whether it's a judge or a district attorney or anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. So from the article, the subpoenas ICE sent to Marion County requested information about four people convicted of crimes that range from rape and sexual abuse to robbery and kidnapping. And again, the people that are defending this are just insane.
Well, they're not
two
reading.
Of those into
they're not reading. They're not reading the article. They're just reading the headlines that
they're,
Oregon.
They're regurgitating. The, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
so two of those people are registered sex offenders, according to the county's lawsuit. The identity of the fifth person ICE requested, it was unclear. The subpoenas requested information including each person's address, phone number, birth records, driver's license number. Employer's address while on parole and information about the bail. This is a quote from the county's lawsuit. Marion County has gathered records responsive to the federal subpoenas. Marion County is prepared to either provide or withhold the requested records based on what the court determines the law to be. In a statement, Danielle Bethel, chair of the Marion County Board of Commissioners, said the county reached out to both federal and state officials to get clarity, but the legal path remains uncertain. Quote, obviously we want to keep dangerous people out of our community and off our streets. She said also, she continues, we also want to make sure that the state won't come after our community and sue us if we provide the requested records to the federal administration. There was a Facebook post about this. I believe her official, she is running for governor in 2026, and I think it was her official page. Somebody had asked a question, and there's her response out there on social media was, actually, the county would be violating state law under the current form of subpoena we receive from the federal government. This court filing makes the federal government and the state government figure it out. It's not fair to local jurisdiction to know that we would be directly harmed by one party or the other by complying with the constitution of either state or the federal government. It's completely absurd that we have these laws in conflict. She says, as the press release says, Marion County is very committed to holding criminals and harmful people in our community accountable, hence the lawsuit. I agree with that. And again, let the state and the feds figure it out. These smaller jurisdictions, counties, cities, they're stuck in the middle of this if they are in a blue sanctuary state. And it's ridiculous.
Well, and that's the thing. I sit here and go, you read these people, the information they're looking for, and you go, sex offenders, violent criminals, why are we shielding them, period, end of story?
Right.
You know, let's not even get into the why are they being released on bail. You know, this is Salem, Oregon, where we had one of the largest drug dealing head of a cartels arrested here. And if these people had their way, they would be happy to say, no, they just get a reprieve and we don't want to even deal with them. Let's get them out on the streets because that's where they belong.
Yeah. And then you've got judges and you've got state, you know, electeds that are actively going against and getting in the way of this, which... No, you can't do that. So it'll be very interesting to follow this lawsuit. And I hope it does clear some things up, that the jurisdictions are within there to either cooperate or to not. But I'm hoping Marion County cooperates.
Yeah, well, and especially as this is getting more of a national spotlight. I mean, it is coming in hard and fast. Charlie Kirk actually out on Facebook put out a post that really cuts into all of this. It literally says, the mere existence of sanctuary cities is one of the most incomprehensible aspects of the present political movement. We have clear-cut, completely constitutional laws regarding immigration, and it's considered completely normal for dozens of our largest cities and states to not just ignore, but actively flout these laws, up to and including criminalizing behavior that gives assistance to the federal agents enforcing our laws. It's a direct choice to choose a more dangerous, more disordered, less pleasant country. It's also a calculated systemic effort to undermine America being an actual country with a border. It shouldn't be allowed. Every public sector official who holds sanctuary law or upholds sanctuary laws is aiding in the conspiracy to violate the laws of the United States and should be charged accordingly. And I agree.
Yeah. Yep. I do too.
Whether it's our governor, our DAs, or anything who is literally upholding, allowing criminals to be on our streets when they shouldn't be.
Police chiefs, sheriffs. I mean, again, and that's why it's so important to know if you have a constitutional sheriff in your county, because they are, you know, sworn to uphold that. It's interesting to see the comments on this as well. But it's like, why is America the only country that's not allowed to, you know, enforce its borders and be a sovereign nation? It's just, it's crazy. The same letter was sent to Washington State Governor. I was watching a YouTube video from so it's basically the same wording. So it is starting to come down. So I think lawsuits like this hopefully will clear things up. And then if we can, you know, what you just read that Charlie put out there is absolutely, it is sane, it is measured, it is sober taking of it. The people on the other side, there's a video out of some ridiculous woman getting in the face. Are you ICE? Are you ICE? Trying to take pictures. These people are absolute lunatics.
Well, encouraging, and our elected officials encouraging that kind of behavior and encouraging people to, you know, interfere with ICE operations, that full-on 1,000% bleeds over to police activities. If police are going after a criminal, what's to stop a woman like this from doing that exact same thing and hindering a possible murder investigation?
Right.
You know?
And believing, again, that she's in the right. I think in the video you could hear her daughter, who probably was mortified, going, "Ma, let it go." And the woman just, like, doubles and triples down. And it's like there's so many broken people, and they're just being fed these lies and whipped up. I mean, it was absolutely – it was really hard to watch it. It's like, get help. Yeah. Just get some help.
Yeah. Let's get those mental health institutions back out there, because – those people might need that just as bad as anyone else.
Yeah. And again, the people that are twisting themselves into these mental pretzels to defend this are just insane. Is it going to take something happening to you or your family? I mean, we talked about that horrible incident on the freeway and the guy who got an illegal who got his CDL in California and caused that horrific accident in Florida. Mm-hmm. Does it have to happen to you? I mean, my God.
Yeah. Well, and see, that's the thing. Would these people even change their thought process if it happened to a family member? I just sit here and go, you know, are they the kind of people that would be like, oh, well, you know, it happened and I forgive the person that did it, even if they're a criminal and a cartel member. And I'm just going, this is insanity. We are not willing to hold up. And yet, what do you see on the news this morning? Donald Trump is going to get rid of mail-in voting and all the upper. I mean, that was literally the headline on the news reporting this morning.
Was it? I didn't see that.
It's not. And they pointed out, even in the broadcast, it's you know, the way states handle their election process is a state level thing. So I don't think it's going to hold. But I do agree that maybe what we need to do is create a national voting day. Make it a holiday.
Yeah, sure. One day.
Mm-hmm. An election day holiday. Let's do that. And I think the federal government could do that.
Yeah, it's been interesting watching the back and forth on it. We, like we said, we talked about it yesterday, and it was like, you know, but it is sort of a state's thing. But it is gaining a lot of traction out there, but that kind of cuts both ways. I think it was Bonchi was out there saying, you know, if you can do it on this side, they can do it on the other side. Be careful here. Be careful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then, and that's the thing is the states need to determine how they do their elections. That's fine with me. But I do believe that, you know, this, it can arrive up to 10 days after election day, as long as it's postmarked, is insane. And it tells you what they, you know, let's break it down, what they think of the post office if they can't get a ballot delivered within 10 days of hitting the postmark. You know, I just go, yeah, it needs to be have arrived by election day. Election day needs to be a specific day. That's why it's called election day and not election month or election year or election anything else.
Well, and if you're old enough to remember actually going to precincts, or you're lucky enough to be able to do it today, you know, you go in and you sign your name and you meet the precinct committee people who man it, and you fill out your ballot, you put it in the slot, and you're good to go. That's the way it needs to be again. But mail-in voting is very popular, so, and especially in Oregon, because it keeps Democrats in power. So it's not going to go quietly into the night by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, this is going to be a massive fight if they try and push that to happen.
That's, yeah, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's go ahead and take a break. And then my show prep today was so fun. There's so much weird stuff going on. We got to hit just some random weird headlines that I found that it's like, really? Is this satire? Is this the Babylon Bee?
I read those things, and I'm just like, are we just doing a comedy show for this thing? I don't even know what's going on in the world right now.
So let's go ahead and take that break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill and Cozy's New York Deli.
Alrighty, so I mean, we've been a lot, you know, paying attention to what's going on with, of course, Trump meeting with Zelensky, who did wear a suit, no tie, but at least he had a jacket and a coat, and his you know, his collar was buttoned up. So that's a good thing.
Was that a Babylon Bee article or a not the Bee article?
No.
This is Zelensky we're talking about. Come on.
I know. He didn't wear, you know, camo gear or whatever, khaki tactical pants. He wore a suit, and it seemed, I was watching that, and it seemed to go pretty well. And then, of course, you know, the leaders, European leaders have been over. It was amazing. It's like, hey, everybody come here. Okay. And here they all are. But one of the funniest things, and I love her, the prime minister of Italy. Again, I am Italian. I have Italian heritage in me. And I think she's great. But there's been people talking about, because she wears her opinions on her face. She's an eye roller and a, and I get that, because I'm a bit of that too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to hide. It's hard to keep your things close to the vest. It's like talking with my hands, and then the facial expressions. It is a bit of it. Italians are very expressive people, but she's getting some guff from that. But I think it's great. I love it. She's a real human being. She's this awesome woman, and I think it's hilarious.
Well, when I've dealt with people like that, the most common phrase is fix your face.
Yes,
because
right?
Everyone knows what you're thinking when that is your the way you operate, when my wife operates
it's
that
so
way.
Hard.
Her friends constantly tell her, fix your face, because you are telling the world what you think without saying a word.
And so it's a bit, you know, it's kind of like, well, she's the prime minister of Italy. She really should be. And a lot of people, when you run for office, you're kind of coached to not do that, to fix your face, to kind of remain neutral. It can be very, very hard. You and I have been to a million candidate forums, mm-hmm. and you can watch the people, and a lot of people, it's hard to do. Al Gore was one of the worst in debates. I mean, he would huff and sigh and roll his eyes. And I don't know, with him, it was annoying. But with her, it's just sort of cute. But a lot of people kind of are taking issue with it. So I can see both sides. It's like, mm-hmm. you're one of the leaders of the European leaders. Can you fix your face? But apparently she can't.
All right. Since we're on, kind of the government, how about this story coming out? The FDA is warning the public not to eat as it's investigating a possible radioactive shrimps that have been sold at Walmart in 13 different states.
Okay, that's one. I did not have radioactive shrimp on my bingo card for 2025. Okay.
My first thought was, if this is coming out of Trump's FDA, how many people are going out right now and buying, hopefully, radioactive shrimp just to show them that, it is safe to eat?
If Trump and RFK are saying it's bad, it must be good. So I'm going to go out and get a pound of radioactive shrimp. Yes.
Right.
And I'm going to throw them on the Barbie and be just fine.
Is it being shrimped in? Is it being shipped in from Chernobyl? Come on. Let's get
Well, then you're seeing the memes. There's like somebody sitting glowing. It's like, I just had my radioactive shrimp. I love shrimp, so I would have to be,
a little cautious. Check your freezer.
Well, speaking of that, too, I love this. Okay, full disclosure, way, way back in the day, I was a card-carrying member of PETA. I know, I'm embarrassed. I was that person. I was sticking stickers on hair care. I was lecturing people. I was the obnoxious one.
But you didn't throw, fake blood onto fur coats, did you?
No, I was not that much of a jerk. I was a lesser of a jerk, but I was obnoxious. I got called out on it.
The ones that always got me is when you're out in a big city for things like Thanksgiving parades and things like that, to see them outside of big department stores holding up signs of butchered animals and torn apart foxes and things like that. And then they don't shove it in your face. They shove it in your kid's face.
Yes.
And I want to punch those people.
Yes. They're the same ilk as the people that glue themselves to roads, that throw soup on priceless, pieces of art. PETA is ridiculous. They're an absolutely ridiculous organization. They also probably kill more animals than most shelters. Their shelters are notorious for that. They're a joke. They are. And now to cement that further, this is a Not the Bee article. So when it's a Not the Bee article, it's real.
It's real.
Headline. PETA demands Nintendo remove nose ring from cow character on Mario Kart, and the replies are glorious. And it's the image of this adorable little cow. Now, do they want, the blue hairs to remove their cow rings?
Well, that's my first question.
Is that okay?
How are you not representing everyone if you don't have a character with a nose hoop?
Right.
I mean, this sounds like representation for everyone.
Well, you think so? And the tweet is liberate cow. Hey, Nintendo, let cow race-free. Remove her nose ring. And again, do you not get, you've got all these blue hairs and purple hairs and, you know, tatted up 20-somethings with their septum rings, which to me are, you know, put a clip on it and lead them around because they look like livestock rings. They're not attractive at all. Who told these people this was attractive? I don't know.
Well, somebody had the same thought and pretty much said, hey, at PETA, 90% of your supporters have the same nose ring.
Right? And then this one, you don't have anything better to do like saving real animals? Because, I mean, there are issues with some factory farms and those practices. I mean, there are issues with that. But no, let's liberate an animated cow. Okay.
Yeah, of course, and at PETA also making the cow drive a car that is obviously way too small for him, her, they.
Right? Did you look how jammed in that poor cow was? And then somebody posted a picture of a delicious steak. So good. So good. And then one, the cow seems happy. You're just miserable.
Well, I it all makes sense. We have become a virtual world, an AI world. And maybe that's what this is all about, is they are trying to save the AI cows now.
I guess so. Well, AI. Now, I have to admit, I've used AI for some things. It helps save time if I'm like, especially if it's math and I've got to like run numbers. I'm like, hey, ChatGPT, here it all is. You do it. And literally 5 seconds later, here you go. Like, thank you. But we've been hearing about this. And I remember there was a movie starring Joaquin Phoenix. It was called Her, I think, where he fell in love with his AI companion or helper or assistant. Mm-hmm. He fell in love. It was voiced by Scarlett Johansson. Well, our friend John Hawkins over at Culturecidal, I never say that right. These women are marrying AI boyfriends. And I've heard of other like men falling in love and being with, because they're AI. If you've ever interacted with it or experimented with it, it gives you everything that you want. It's very affirming. It's very loving. It's a little creepy.
Wait, are these AI beta boyfriends or
oh, yes.
alpha boyfriends?
No, they would be beta. They would be beta.
Beta boyfriends.
But it's like, it's an interesting article because a lot of people, and again, I blame COVID for this and I blame the rise in social media and people not interacting in real life like we all did as kids. I mean, everyone is behind a screen. COVID kept everybody in there. You've got a whole generation that won't talk on the phone, that doesn't want to interact. They're bringing mom and dad to job interviews. So is this really surprising that they're marrying their AI boyfriends?
How scary is it going to be if, you know, that EMP ever does happen and their AI boyfriend ghosts them?
Oh my gosh. Well, and you know, that's funny, but really there's a mental health crisis in this country.
Yeah. Well,
there really is.
To look for companionship, especially something like marriage and lifelong kind of commitment out of AI, virtual reality, whatever it is, I'm sitting there going, that is socially, these people are just a train wreck and they need at least counseling, if not something more.
Except that sort of modern therapy just affirms this kind of stuff. It doesn't necessarily challenge people to break out of it if you've ever, you know, it's a weird trajectory that we're on in this country because it is, AI is on the ascendance. It's ascending and it's more and more. And like I said, I've even used it. I don't have a relationship with ChatGPT, but I can see when I've asked it something, I tried saying please to it. It responded very positively just to please. So it depends on what you feed it.
That is crazy. I just sit here and go, I think I have to avoid, you know, all this AI stuff because I don't want to crawl into bed at night and go, AI, can you read me a bedtime story?
Because it will. And it'll read you a romance novel.
Scary stuff.
It is. So we have to tread carefully. All right, everybody, that's it for us today. Go out, enjoy the day, and get your fair tickets. Great deals. See you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.